I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you got Arcan Solo here for an hour. Get ready. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You thought things get intense with me and Andy. Wait till you see what it's like when he's not here. And it's just me, unhinged. You know what that's like, Braverman. You've done some of my weekend shows. It can get a little weird. We'll try not to get too weird here in this final hour, but...
Look, now is the time to just air out what you don't like about Andy.
Oh, I mean, come on. I only have an hour. It'd take me all day. I do want to get to these things with Gerard Mayo here. Also, there's been some developments just over the course of the show with the Giardi and Evan Lazar beef, which is now... And I'll admit, I may have fanned the flames a little bit there, but it has been an interesting day here, not just for the Patriots, but for the Patriots media, stat beat reporters, everybody else. Everybody seems to be mad at each other. This is what happens, I guess, when your team sucks, right? I mean, it's been a long time since we've really been down in these kind of depths before. I remember the Patriots in the 90s, kind of. I was a kid back then, you know? Like, it wasn't until they were that Super Bowl team, you know, the Desmond Howard team with Bledsoe and Curtis Martin. That was when I really started remembering things about the Patriots. I remember Grogan and, you know, Stanley Morgan and John Stevens and kind of those guys, Andre Tippett, you know, Ronnie Lippitt, guys like that, Bruce Hurt. But, like, I don't know. When it comes to when this team was really just unwatchably bad, the Rod Rust years, the early 90s, I wonder what
calls on Sunday night saying it was worse than Rod Rust.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's heading that way. You know, Rod Rust only went 1-16. This team could go 1-17. Or sorry, 1-15. That team could go 1-60. You know what I meant. Anyway, this is a bad situation that this team is in, and it's a situation that was largely self-made. They didn't have to go in this direction. They didn't have to do things this way. It does start at the top, and I do think that the Crafts are reevaluating a lot of the decisions that they've made here over this over the course of this last couple of years. Really, I mean, going back to 2019, I think, is when you can trace it all the way back to. Bad decisions started happening there, and they haven't really stopped. You know, they haven't really stopped since then. And that does bleed into Bill Belichick in his last couple of years. I find it hilarious that all these Belichick people are sitting there crowing now, going, "Ah, see what happens when you fire Bill Belichick? Like, he didn't drive this thing into the ground." How could you possibly think that there's any way to take a victory lap as a Bill Belichick backer? You might feel good that the guy who replaced him isn't any better. I think that's clear, and he may be worse. I mean, certainly looks worse, and the team looks worse. And Gerard Mayo obviously isn't going to be on the same level ever as the greatest coach in the history of the sport. But to act like he hadn't completely lost control of this thing and driven it into the ground, under the ground.
Yeah, what's that? What's the Bill Belichick game difference? One win?
Maybe. You know, it's funny when he goes on his podcast, too, and he's like, "Yeah, we didn't score a lot of points last year, but boy, that run defense sure was a lot better." And it's like, you want to just breeze over that like you didn't have anything to do with it?
And remember we talked Monday, he wasn't even talking about we were a good run defense. He's talking about the Patriots were good. Like, he's separating himself now.
Exactly. And, yeah, fine. So the run defense was a little bit better last year. Great. You were still a four-win team. You still completely neglected the offense, neglected the quarterback position, didn't bring in anybody or do anything to try and nurture your rookie second-year quarterback. Instead, your decision-making got called into question. You want to question the decisions the Crafts made? Fine. I'll be right there with you. But then to assume that you can't question anything that Bill did in these last couple of years is outrageous. That's just a ridiculous way to think. You can take a step back and look at it and understand that he plays a role in this. I'm not going to blame him for everything, Mike Lombardi, all right? I'm not going to sit here and say this whole thing's Bill's fault. But there's blame to be placed on Bill for the state of the team right now. Absolutely there is. You know, if they had let all of those guys go, which, by the way, I think Bill might have done. I'm not sure how many second contracts Bill's handing out to a lot of these guys that got them. Is Josh Uche getting another contract here with Bill Belichick? Or all these guys, Ramondre Stevenson getting a second contract? How many running backs got second contracts? Like, I'm not sure that would have happened if Bill was here. So they do have a point when they say things like, "Well, if Bill was so bad, why'd you re-sign all his guys?" Fine, fair enough. but they were still his guys. It is hard to completely scrap an entire roster and build it from the ground up.
At some point, when are they going to stop blaming Bill for everything that goes wrong?
How do you do that in one offseason? How do you scrap an entire roster and build it back up from nothing? You only have so many draft picks. You know, it's not like you have a bunch of guys that you can trade and get great fodder for. They did get a third-round pick for Matthew Judon, and that's fine. But I do think that the pro-Bill people doing these victory laps are pretty funny. You know, like we all just completely forgot what these last couple of years were like and how it all felt. It was rough. All right, it was a rough situation.
You could have had him coaching. Now he's up there making commercials.
Right.
He's ordering wings on DoorDash.
Making commercials, doing podcasts, doing that show on the CW, NFL. What is it? Which one's that? The NFL This Week? Or
I think that's Inside the NFL.
Inside the NFL, right. Sorry, yeah. Not the real one. But
how crazy is it that we're talking about how many media stuff Bill Belichick is doing? We never would have thought this 10 years ago.
No, definitely not. Especially with, you know, his attitude towards the media in general. But now he's part of the media. And listen, a lot of people have problems with him and the shots that he's taking at the Patriots. I don't have a problem with that. When you're in the media, that's what you're supposed to do. I think it's a little weaselly that he didn't have a thing to say after they won that first game. But since then, if he wasn't taking these shots, I'd be disappointed. Honestly, I would be. I think that in some ways, he should shoulder some of this blame. But that's not what his job is right now. His job isn't to be like, hey, you know, I'm the coach and I got to take responsibility for this. His job as a media member is to comment on what he's seeing, and he's doing it. And I'm glad he's doing it. I think it's a little pathetic that, you know, Matt Patricia and Lombardi are in there, you know, bigging him up and trying to coax him into it and telling him how great he was and how things would be so much better if he was still there. Like, please. If Bill Belichick was coaching this team right now, what do you think would be different, really? What do you think? The run defense would be a little bit different? Okay. And that plus $1.50 gets you a copy of the Boston Globe. Like, that doesn't mean anything. You know, the run defense being a little bit better means that maybe you're 2-5 now instead of 1-6. Maybe. I'm not saying definitely, but maybe you are. And by the way, they're passing on you too. It's not like it's just the run defense. They're throwing on you too. Trevor Lawrence was 15 for 20 in that game. And everyone's like, oh, the run defense is so bad. No. The pass defense is also very bad. All right? It's all just a bad situation. And I think that if Bill was here and if he was coaching this team, then defense probably would be better. But I'm not sure that the offense would be any better. And I don't know that Drake May would be here either, by the way. I don't know that if Bill Belichick was in charge right now, that he would have drafted Drake May at third overall. In fact, I'm not sure he wouldn't have traded back. You know, really, like he drafted a quarterback that fell to him in 2021, and that was Mac Jones, and it was the fifth, you know, out of five, 15th in the draft. It wasn't a top three pick, so maybe it's a little bit different. But do you think that really matters to Bill?
So Goodell would have been saying, with the third pick, the Patriots select Joe Alt.
Or the Patriots have traded the third overall pick with the Giants or with whoever, and now they're going to pick, the two in the first, two in the second, bunch of fourths and fifths, and all this other extra added crap that he always was so into when it came there for draft time, because he always sort of figured with the quarterback position and with all the positions, really, if this guy's not doing it, I'll bring in someone who will, and they'll just go ahead and do it and execute it because my system's the best, and it's just the way it works. And for years and years and years, it seemed like that was true until Tom Brady left. Then Tom Brady left, and you realize, oh, yeah, the system really works well when you got Tom Brady running it. But I'm going over stuff that's already been talked about here. What we're talking about right now is Jerod Mayo being kind of under fire. And despite all this stuff I'm saying about Belichick right now, Mayo deserves a lot of the crap that he's getting as well. He had this to say about KJ Osborne and his social media post. Now, listen to this and tell me who it reminds you of. Joe, if you would. Do we have this one?
KJ Osborne, you sort of alluded to this week that he wouldn't mind being traded. Have you talked with him about that? Has he put in a request or asked to be traded?
You know, I've had conversations with all the players, about a lot of different things. What I will say, he's on the team now, and we look forward to him playing on Sunday.
Okay. We're going to talk about the guys who are on the team now. I have conversations with all my players. And we're just going to talk about the guys around the team now. The reason why I keep bringing up Bill Belichick is because in this press conference today, earlier this morning, Jerod Mayo went full Belichick. And he did it because he was getting coached by Stacey James, by the way. And he said so at the end of the thing. We'll get to that in just a second, too. But he opens the press conference with about 3 minutes on the Jets. Just throwing names out there. Yeah, this guy's really good. Got to watch out for this guy. This guy, really, it's a good coaching staff over there, even though they fired their coach. And, you know, you got to worry about Wilson, and you got to worry about Adams, and Rodgers is so good at doing this, this, and this. And you got Sauce Gardner in the back there, and blah, 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 blah. Just saying all the names he can, filibustering as long as he can about the Jets to avoid having to answer the questions. And the questions start coming. And those are Bill Belichick answers. He had another one where he's just like, we're on to the Jets. We're not going to talk about this. We're looking ahead to the Jets. This is all about the Jets. He said it so much that by the time they got to the end of the thing,
yeah,
someone
asked
him,
who's responsible for all this?
Coach Stacy over here.
Coach Stacy, exactly. Someone asked him, said, hey, so you opened your presser with this whole thing about the Jets. Is that something that you're going to be doing from here on out? You never done that before. And what does he say? He goes, well, Coach Stacy over here told me to just talk about the Jets. Oh, really? Oh, did he?
Is Coach Stacy going to be like Goalie Bob now, like in the Bruins?
No, because I think they like Goalie Bob. I don't think Gerard Mayo appreciates this from Coach Stacy. I don't think he appreciates Coach Stacy telling him what to say. And I'm surprised that he still went out and did it. But I guess at this point, he feels like he can't make any enemies here. He's under fire. He's feeling it. He's a little desperate. And he's sort of looking at him like, guys, what do I do? And Stacy's like, I got this, Gerard. Just do what I say and everything will be fine. You know, just answer the questions this way. Do your press conference this way. And what's the way that they're saying that's going to make it all better? Do it exactly like Bill Belichick used to do it. Don't give him anything. Don't give him any answers. If it's a question you don't want to answer, just say we're on to the next thing. Basically, go against every impulse that you have, every impulse that you think you may have about how to deal with this and what to do. Go against, like Costanza, right? You know, and everything I think I should do, I'm just going to do the opposite. I'm going to do chicken on toast or whatever it was. Tuna on rye, chicken on toast, whatever the opposite was. I'm going to go up and talk to this woman, tell her I'm unemployed and live with my parents and see where it goes for me. That's basically it. Because what did Gerard Mayo say this entire time? What's he been saying since this all started? He's saying, I'm going to do this differently from Bill Belichick. I'm going to talk. I'm going to have a good relationship with the media. I'm going to be open and transparent, and I hope all my players are too. And so far, that has fostered an environment that is not good for anybody. It's not good for him. It's not good for the players. It's not good for the ownership group. It's not good for the media is all mad at each other now. You got guys on the radio calling each other jackasses. I don't know why that happened or who was instigating that behavior, but that's what's going on right now. That's the current state of this team and what's happening. And I'll tell you what. I feel like a pig in slop right now. I really do. Like, I'm enjoying this. I really am. I shouldn't be. I'm a Patriots fan. I should want them to be
good.
You
thrive in the chaos and the anger within each other.
As a radio host, though, I got to tell you, this is good stuff. I mean, this is really...
And now,
you
planning for next week, you're going to call up Evan Lazar, and Lazar's like, hey, you got to respond to this, and then they're going to go back and forth.
Well, Lazar does his hits over at the other station, so maybe he'll do that, and maybe he'll talk to Joe over there again. I don't know. I have no idea. I know that's what happened last time when he got called into the principal's office and scrubbed off the website for saying there was a mutiny. I know he went over to the other station and talked to him there. Maybe he'll do that again. I don't know. We're going to keep talking to Giardi and our own people here, and maybe they have... opinions on this, and if they do, great. You know, fine. I think this is completely above board. If you want to talk about the coverage of this team and what it's lacking and what it needs more of, all of that's fine. But yeah, this is some chaos. I'll admit, this is some chaos, and I am really enjoying it. I got to be honest here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to your phone calls. First, here's Joe Braverman to get you covered.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caught up on what's trending.
Bad. Are you happy?
Are you happy
that's what you got out of Mike Giardi?
I am happy, yes. I'm a very happy host one here on WEEI Afternoon Show. It's Christian Arcan. No Andy Hart. He had to leave. So you got me for the next 30 minutes or so. After the show is over, we're going to have an hour of Boomer and Valenti because we're contractually obligated to play that every week. And then... Boston College taking on Louisville right here on these airwaves. Keep it here on WEEI all day and night. And make sure you don't miss any of the action here as BC trying to bounce back after a couple of tough losses against a very tough Louisville team. So this might not be the week they turn it around. A win today, though, would be a big one for them, for the Eagles, and get them back on track. I'd love to see it. I'm not feeling great about it, but I guess we'll all find out together here later on tonight. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to Jay in Woburn. Go ahead, Jay. Oh, Jay.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, guy. Not too bad. I got a little gripe about the way things are going. Everyone's blaming Gerard Mayo, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, that's all fine and dandy, but these guys are professionals. You know, listen to me. They've been through Pop Warner, high school, college. They're professionals. They're giving up on plays. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Blame the players, not the coaches, guys. You know, come on.
Okay, Jay, I'm perfectly happy to blame the players. I've been blaming players for all sorts of stuff here. I've been blaming every single wide receiver in that room for Babe playing like crap for the most part, and then B spouting off about it in the media after that, and then being told by Evan Lazar, oh, no, actually, that's not what they meant. You're taking them out of context, which, again, oh, very, very interesting. I'm so mystified by that because you're not talking about unnamed sources, anonymous sources. You're going into the locker room or you're writing your story, and there's an anonymous source saying that KJ Osborne wants to get traded. It's nothing like that, really. I mean, what you're seeing here, what we've been seeing, are these wide receivers seeking out the media and being very, or going on social media for that matter, and saying these exact same things. I have no idea what people are trying to say is getting taken out of context here. And whenever anyone gets pressed on it, like Mayo or Van Pelt or whoever, they can't really give you a good answer. Well, what got taken out of context exactly? I'm not going to go back over all that, but let me just tell you that that's not exactly what he meant. It's not. He called it an alley-oop. Do you want to get traded, KJ? Ah, oh, come on, it's an alley-oop. How else could you possibly take that? An alley-oop is when someone throws the ball up in the air for someone else to dunk, right? You're setting me up for a dunk. Do you want to get traded? Ah, nah, come on, it's an alley-oop. I don't want to dunk that one home. That means, yes, I do want to get traded. That's exactly what that means. Come on. Even if you're just, you know, if it's like a total hypothetical, just slang, whatever, we all know what you meant. Kayshon Booty talking about I have to go and demand the ball, and these coaches, no one knows how to give me the ball or draw up a play for me unless I call for it, unless I demand it. What? How else are you supposed to take that? That's what I don't understand. That's what I'm confused about when it comes to Lazar and his gripe there. And maybe he meant something else. I mean, listen, there's any number of different reporters that you could be talking about. Chris Mason and Giardi were talking with KJ Osborne. Mark Daniels, I think, was the one who had the interview with Kayshon Booty. Demario Douglas was talking to the media earlier before. He was saying the same sort of stuff. I need the ball more. You got to give me the ball more. At what point does the context, you can't really make that argument anymore when it's been going on all year with these guys. It's been going on all year with all these, Jalen Polk, it's been going on with all of them. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's just a ridiculous thing. Especially from the guy who, I think, right now, Evan Lazar should be doing victory laps. Evan Lazar should be like, see, what did I tell you? What did I tell you about the mutiny? You guys all doubted me. You told me not to say it. You said I was exaggerating. Jacoby Brissett, you said I'm an idiot. Don't I have any idea what I'm talking about? Looks like I was right, doesn't it? Looks like maybe I was onto something there, doesn't it? Kind of like with Kern and that whole thing with Belichick last year. I mean, people called Tommy Kern everything in the world other than a man of God after he came out with his report that the Crafts were thinking about firing Belichick at the end of the season after that Germany game and that they were planning on doing that. People lost it on Tommy Kern. Fans, other members of the media, national guy, I can't believe you'd come out there and just say that. What reckless reporting. I can't believe this. You'd go back to journalism school, blah, 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 blah. You ask Kern, he'll tell you. People were saying all sorts of things about him, and he was right. He was right. Lazar was right, and now he's made this 1A. He's gone the complete other direction. Instead of reveling in the fact that he actually got this thing and had it nailed completely, now all of a sudden he's carrying the water for these wide receivers saying, oh, no, that's not what they meant. You're taking them out of context. You're going in there with an agenda. You're doing this. You're doing that. Yeah, right, an agenda. The agenda that they're feeding into, that they're gladly feeding it. They're very happy to feed into this agenda. It's very, very weird. But I got to say, I love it, and I hope it goes on all season long, and I hope that the participants in this media beef continue talking to us and throwing shots at each other on these airwaves, because I'll tell you what, that has made my day, my Friday, much more enjoyable than it would have been
otherwise. You're literally in the corner on like a recliner with the popcorn being like, yeah, keep going.
I mean,
keep
basically,
fighting
yeah.
with each other.
That onion thing with like the sickos in the window going, yeah, yeah, like that's me. I'm the sicko. That's exactly what's going on here, and I couldn't be happier.
The standard right. like cartoon villain in that big chair with a cat
twirling
yes,
my mustache. Yes, right, exactly. Ah, perfect. Exactly how I want it. All right, the only thing that makes me happier than media people all yelling at each other is hitting some bets. So let's get to our picks for week 7. I don't believe, did Andy give you picks? Did he give you anything?
He did not submit anything, so I guess I'm going to represent him and
all right, fine.
Try and get you back in this race by giving you a bunch of losers.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's get to him here. Without any further ado, week 8 picks for the Patriots and beyond. How did we do last week, first of all, Jim?
I would say Hart did very, very well. He got all but one of the games
wow.
wrong, and the only one he got wrong was the Patriots. So he went for 7-1 on that week. And
that's pretty good. I had a good week.
You, Arcan, only three wins.
That's it?
Yeah. You had the ones you got right were Buffalo -9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the Bengals -6, got that over Cleveland. And then the last one you got were the Eagles. -3.5.
Which ones did I get wrong?
You got the Vikings wrong, -1.5. Lions won by 2.
Oh, right, okay.
Yep, and then the Atlanta. Atlanta got blown out
by
Seattle.
Atlanta got smoked, that's true, yeah. I don't know what
then,
I was thinking there.
Then the Niners, -1.5.
They lost,
the Jets, -1.5, and the Patriots.
I thought I picked against the Jets.
I have here Jets, -1.5 for you.
I'm pretty sure I picked against the Jets.
Oh, you know what? I flipped it. You know what? I read that completely wrong. You had the great week. Hart had the bad week. So you had the 7 wins.
I had 7 wins.
Yeah, you had 7. I read it wrong.
I was like, what are you talking about? I thought I did good last week.
Yeah, that's
like, I made money last week.
That's on,
I was like, I think I did okay.
No, that's on me. You went 7-1.
I went 7-1. All right, now can you now that we've established that, can you read the picks that I got right, please? Because I know I was 7-1,
yes.
I was very hesitant to give Hart any props there, and I'm glad I was.
Yeah,
I went 7-1.
Yeah,
all right, let me
mistake.
Have them.
You had the Lions +1.5.
Yes.
You had the Buffalo -9.5.
Right.
Bengals -6, Seattle +3, Eagles -3.5, the Chiefs +1.5, and you had the Steelers +1.5.
Okay, very good.
And the only one you got wrong was the Patriots.
It was the Patriots. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know why I picked the Patriots, but I did. Okay, so there you go. 7-1. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good week, I'd say. That's actionable. That's how you make some money on gambling if you want to tail these. Let's go ahead. What do we have for picks for this week?
Let's take a look at the schedule.
Can we get a little music, a little NFL Films music or something? Is that possible to
do? Yeah, I can.
I know you're in charge of all this. I should have probably asked before the segment started.
Yeah, why don't we start with this one right here while I get the music set up. The Eagles at the Bengals. Right now the line favors Cincy. -2.5.
Eagles and the Bengals. I think I like the Eagles here. I know the game's in Cincinnati. I think that 2.5 points is an interesting sort of starting point right there, and that the Bengals have looked better lately, but that's usually, with the Bengals in particular, you know, they look good in a division game. They look good against the Giants. They almost beat the Ravens, but for some reason, I just think the Eagles are going to be a favorable matchup for them. I know the Eagles aren't anybody's favorite right now. They did win last week, but I don't know. Something's pulling me in that direction. It just sort of seems like on the road or not, whatever, they're coming off a couple of wins, too. Are the Eagles just beat the same two teams? I think that may be. I think the Eagles
just beat the Giants
and the Browns, too, right?
Yeah, Giants and Browns in consecutive weeks.
So these are two teams that are riding kind of high after beating up on the dregs of the league. I'm going to go with the Eagles +2.5 on the road. I don't feel comfortable laying the points there with the Bengals. So, yeah, give me Philadelphia.
This one is tricky for me, too, because these are two teams that are definitely lower on the expectation chart than what we thought they would be. I feel like somehow the Bengals are just going to come out and they're going to have a really good game. I think it'll be a high scoring, but I think I'm going to go with Cincy here on this one.
Okay.
I think I like the Bengals on this bet.
All right. Very good.
Moving on to our next game on the docket. How about a little matchup in the NFC South? Again, Falcons favored by 2.5. Going to Tampa against the Buccaneers.
I'm surprised that they're favored in this game because I feel like the Bucs have been playing well lately. I think that they're a team that I kind of look at a little bit more favorably. They did just lose to Baltimore, but they scored a lot of points in that game, and they had just come off a blowout win over the Saints. When they played the Falcons the first time, I think the Falcons beat them in Atlanta. So I'm going to go ahead and take Tampa here. I think Tampa at home +2.5. I like a home dog anyway. Give me Tampa.
See, I don't know about that. They just lost Mike Evans. They just lost Chris Godwin.
Oh, that's true.
I think Tampa's going to be all over the place, so I think I'm going to take Atlanta in this one.
I forgot about those injuries. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's okay. There's Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan for
Baker
Mayfield.
That's true. But really, it's Bucky Irving, who I like the most. I like that kid a lot. I liked him at Oregon, and I like him a lot on that team. I'll still go with the home dog. Give me Tampa +2.5.
Okay, let's go to a little bit of a bigger spread here. We'll go to the Titans and the Lions. The Lions are at home, and they're favored by 11 and a half.
There's a couple of big spreads like this on the board this week. I forget what the other one is, but there's another 11.5-point spread. I
Ravens
want to say
are favored by 8.5.
I think
Cleveland.
Denver, Carolina, is that in the 11s? I think that's up there, too. I think that's double digits.
It's a plus 10.5 right now against Carolina.
So I guess it's moved a little bit since I last checked, but still double digits for the Broncos is crazy. I don't think it's crazy for Detroit, though. I'm going to go ahead and lay the points here with Detroit. I think that's an easy 2-score win. They made mincemeat out of the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. I think they can certainly handle Will Levis and the Titans in Detroit. So, yeah, give me Detroit and the points.
I am right there with you. Lions are too good of an offense. Let's go to another game. Another big spread here that we just talked about. How about the Chiefs and the Raiders, the team debut for DeAndre Hopkins? The Chiefs are favored by 9.5.
That's a big line for them. As bad as the Raiders are, the Chiefs just don't blow anybody out, I don't think. They have been winning by the skin of their teeth. This may be a get-right game for Patrick Mahomes, though. I could see that being the case. I could see Patrick Mahomes being like, all right, I haven't been good lately, but this is the freaking Raiders, guys. Come on. Let's go out there and do it. Hopkins there, I think, will give him a boost, just like Cooper gave Josh Allen a boost. Not so much with Adams and Rodgers. But I think you can see that maybe with Kansas City. So
it's hard to go against Kansas City.
It's hard to go against them in like a pick 'em.
Yeah.
9.5, though, it's a lot of points. I'll give it to them anyway.
They usually own the Raiders, too. So that's why I think I'm pretty confident with giving the Chiefs 9.5.
They do. And I do think there's a lot to be said. Like, I don't think Mahomes is going to be this bad all year. So if he goes out there and has kind of an FU game, they could win by 9.5, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree there. How about a little closer spread here? The Bills and the Seahawks. Buffalo, heading to Seattle, are favored by 3.
Okay, that's a tough one. I'll go with Buffalo here because I like them a little bit better than Seattle, but it's in Seattle. It's just, I did say I like a home dog, but I don't know if I'm going to apply that to the Seahawks here. They've been a little shaky lately. I feel like Buffalo's back on the upswing since they brought in Cooper. I'm going to go ahead and take Buffalo on the points here.
I think it's going to be a little bit closer. So I think Buffalo's going to win, but I don't think they're going to cover. I think this is going to be a last second sort of heroic kind of thing. So I think I'll take Seattle with the points to cover, but they're not going to win the game.
Seattle did just bounce back last week against Atlanta, I want to say, right? Yeah, that was a game I picked.
Yeah, and the minute you start doubting Seattle and Geno Smith, they're going to turn it right around.
I know, but I feel the same way about Josh Allen. Like, they lost a few games in a row. You started to doubt them, and then they picked it back up against Tennessee and the Jets, in fairness. But still, I'm still a little more bullish on Buffalo, I guess.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. How about the Sunday night matchup? Two teams desperately in need of a win, the Cowboys and the Niners. San Francisco at home, favored by 3.5. Both teams could really use a win.
They both certainly could. 3.5, you said? The last one I saw was at 4, which I guess is basically the same. I'm going to take Dallas here. I know that's a controversial pick, but I feel like it's there. It could be a get-right game for them. I don't love what I'm seeing from the Niners lately. I think that, you know, talent-wise, the Niners may be slightly ahead of Dallas when it comes to just on-paper talent, but not by that much. That was an ugly loss to the Chiefs. They had an ugly loss to the Cardinals a couple weeks ago. Yeah, give me Dallas here to at the very least keep it within 4 points. I think that's doable. Even if they lose, I don't think it's going to be my more than a field goal.
I think the key, too, is the bye week. They're coming off the bye week. Yeah. Niners are kind of, they're banged up. They just lost Brandon Ayuk. They basically got a walking medical tent for a roster right now. I think I still feel confident, though, in taking the Niners in this one. And then let's go to the game we have the rooting interest in, the Patriots and the Jets. The current line favors the Jets by 7.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets here. I think that the Patriots and Drake May, you may surprise people. You may see him bring them a little bit closer, but I think when it comes down to it, this defense isn't good enough. There's too much chaos going on. I think that this wide receiver thing is not going to be helpful for Drake May and his progression. I think this is going to be the first week where you see it start to take a toll a little bit. You know, guys demanding the ball, maybe someone throwing a fit on the field because the pass wasn't there because May didn't see him or whatever it may be. And if they're losing, I don't think that this is the type of team that's going to be able to dig deep and fight back and get into the game. So I think once it starts to get off the rails, it's going to continue that way. Mayo hasn't shown that he's able to coach them back into a game. So I think I'm going with the Jets and the points here, despite them being a road favorite. And I know I'm going against all my principles that I usually go by here, but I don't know. It's been a bad week for the Patriots. I don't think that's suddenly going to change on Sunday.
You know what? I'm trying to not be the optimistic one, but it's the Jets. It's the GD Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I know they're much more talented, but I think they can at least cover the spread because I think the Jets are going to, at some point, vomit on themselves. They're going to get in their own way, even though they have all this talent. So I think the Patriots, I'm not going to say they're going to win, but I think they can cover the spread of 7.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you saw that first game, right, where they only scored 3 points. And I know that was with Jacoby Brissett and everything, and that can make a big difference here. I'm not saying that it won't, but I saw a Jets offense that was operating about as well as it has all season long against your defense in New Jersey, in fairness. But,
and if it's wrong, I'll have no guilt because this is technically Andy's pick.
That's true. So, yeah, all the stuff that's happening right now, all these picks that you're making are not going to stick to you at all. They'll just go right into the pot there for Andy, who's reeling after getting smoked by me in a 7-1 pick. What a week. I knew I did well, but 7-1, that's pretty good. All right, there you go. There's some picks for week 8. We're going to take a break here, come back and wrap things up next with This Week in Social Media, hashtag Twism. All right, we're back here now. It's the final segment, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, no Andy Hart. He had to leave early. Diva Hart over here. He's all mad at these diva receivers. Look at this guy. He doesn't come in on Fridays. He leaves an hour early. Hillman doesn't take this much time. This is unbelievable. He's got the Hillman Nantucket schedule. You'd think that was for host two. That's pretty impressive. Anyways, I'm still here, and it's time now what we do every Friday at this time, and that is a recap of This Week in Social Media. Oh, okay, I guess we couldn't find the open for This Week in Social Media. Whatever. I don't need the open for This Week in Social Media. I'll tell you what it is. This Week in Social Media, hashtag Twism, is where we go back over everything that happened on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Friendster, MySpace, you name it. Everything that happened here in sports or things related to sports over the course of the week. Now, we probably think that I'm going to be talking all about the Patriots, right? Jalen Polk, his cryptic message. What was Polk's? It was like a black screen with a dot, 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 peace sign, right? Wasn't that Polk's thing? Am I wrong, or am I mixing that up?
No, you got it right.
That's what Polk had. Then there was the KJ Osborne tweet or Instagram post. This is also on Instagram. All this stuff's happening on Instagram. I keep saying Twitter. But this one was on Instagram. KJ Osborne with a note or a message or a text, I guess, from his agent, who's not really his agent, saying you're the best and I, you know, you were right there and you held your composure even though you didn't know you were going to play in London. You're a true pro. You truly special. God working with us. I'm with you and we'll figure out the situation and blah, 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 blah. And then being asked about it, he said, yeah, you know, do I want to get traded? That sounds like an alley-oop to me. And then there was Jalen Reagor, who has already been excommunicated from this team. But his Instagram post, which you'll remember happened way back in the day, right before he got released back in September, had the it was some sort of sports car, some fancy sports car next to a trailer in a carport. And that was a pretty funny one, I think, but a little bit delusional. And I think a good representation of the overall mentality going on in that locker room right now, especially in that wide receiver room. Just delusions. Delusions of grandeur, delusions of being good players. I mean, you know, they're good for not the NFL, but I'm sure they're good to get where they are. But now it's like you guys are here, you've arrived, and you're not really doing all that much, and you're expecting the world. And it's very, very strange. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is someone shutting down their Twitter account. And that someone is someone I mentioned yesterday, Taylor Mathis. Taylor Mathis has locked her Twitter account. She has removed DraftKings from her bio, according to people who follow her. I wasn't following her. I didn't need to follow her. For a while, you didn't need to follow her at all. She was just in your timeline. You know what I mean? Like, even if you had no idea who she was, all of a sudden, here they come. Like, you know, here she is walking down the street, and here's the bets, and blah, 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 blah. And it was just everywhere. And again, this is someone who tried very, very hard to move in on a space currently occupied by our good friend Lucy Burge. And all I can say to this is that if you come at the queen, you best not miss. And Taylor Mathis decided to fly a little too close to the sun, it would seem like, as she is being accused of manipulating a cryptocurrency that was created basically around her. What happened here is that fans of Mathis made a Bitcoin or a token based on her likeness, and she agreed to promote it in exchange for 20 million tokens, which is 2% of the total supply. I really don't know a lot about crypto. Either you guys back there, crypto people, can you break
this down a little bit?
I don't know anything about this. I really don't. When people start talking about crypto.
I knew about Bitcoin. That's about it.
Okay. You know more than me. When people start talking to me about this, my eyes roll in the back of my head. I don't even know what it means. I know that you ever been to like a gas station and they're like Bitcoin ATM? What is that? What is a Bitcoin ATM? If you put your card into a Bitcoin ATM, what comes out of the machine?
A receipt that says good luck.
It's just a picture of a guy flipping you off. Sucker, thanks for the money.
It's you on the evil chair while Lazar and...
That's basically what it is. And sorry if you saw that on Twitch. That is just, you know, natural thing there. I have no idea what crypto even means. She starts promoting the token on her X account. Leads to reaching a $6 million market cap on Saturday, which would have her stake worth an estimated $120,000. That's pretty quick for a token that just came up out of nowhere, up to $6 million. Mathis responded to accusations she would pump and dump, which means promote it and then sell her own stake, which is securities fraud, with, I know what that is, and I literally can't let it happen. I'm not going to do it. Don't worry about it. But the value of the coin quickly dropped after Saturday. And it shows that the current market cap is now just over 200,000, down from 6 million. Those reported moves would give Mathis 1.5 times her initial stake and a profit of more than $7,000 if she had sold it all off. Taylor said that she wasn't going to do that and she would donate any money she gained to charity. And then she proceeded to purchase another 34 million tokens for $9,000. So Mathis has now locked down her account and removed DraftKings references from it. And I'll admit, I enjoyed the Taylor Mathis era on the internet. I didn't know who she was before this. I certainly know who she is now.
Did Cindy enjoy it?
I showed her that. I mean, she was like, oh, okay, she's pretty good. But no, Lucy Burge, obviously. Lucy Burge now, the undisputed queen of the walking bets and of these bets in general. And, you know, Taylor Mathis, this is what happened when you go against Lucy. You just don't want to do that. There's nothing good ever happens going up against Lucy. And that's all I have to say about that. By the way, this week in social media brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's all the time we have here. Mike, great job. Joe, great job. Brian, great job on the videos. Want to say thanks to Mike Giardi. And stay tuned. Boomer and Valente coming your way for an hour. And then it's BC football right here on these airwaves. Don't touch the dial. Keep it on EEI. I'll talk to you at 10 o'clock on Sunday for WEEI Football Sunday with Mego and Shime. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.